Hello, and thank you for listening to episode 32 of 60 Minutes With. I'm Dave, and in this episode I'm going to be chatting with Øyvind Jensen, who's the creative force behind The Elder Live, a project that I've been following for quite a long time now and very excited about. So without further ado, please sit back, relax, and get comfortable as I spend 60 minutes chatting with Øyvind Jensen. Hello, thank you. I'm so excited to be chatting with you today because The Elder Live is a project that I've been following for quite a few years now. So to get the chance to have a chat with you and find out where it stands at the moment, where it's going to go, and for you as well to please tell our listeners, let's kick this off. How did this whole project begin all those years ago?
Well, I think now you are mistaking my project for actually a UK project. Mm-hmm. That was started by Seb Hunter. I believe it was 4 years ago, 2011. All of a sudden I read an article on the internet about Seb Hunter wanting to make the movie about the elder, and I was very excited about it, and I wanted to get involved immediately. As far as I know, he has not finished his project. But you would have to talk to him, of course. Mm-hmm. But that's really how it started. My project is a separate from his project completely. He wanted to do a full feature movie, traditional filmmaking, whereas I am making the animated version.
Yes, yeah, of course. Which began, let's talk, what software are you using? How has the software evolved during the time that you've been working on this?
Well, that's how I got involved in the whole thing. It was 2007, and I needed to get back working with something because the market for journalists in Norway, where I come from, it was basically not non-existent anymore. So I had to do something else. And my brother was working for this 3D animation company, and he wanted me to come in to do some extra tasks. So I came in and I started making these houses, and I did some jobs for this company, and then I sort of, I got involved in other things. I went to London for a couple of years, and I worked for Air France, which is a totally different ballgame, as they would say in America. So I put the whole 3D animation thing on the shelf for a few years. And then in 2011, I wanted to start to get more immersed in this thing, so to speak. And I started doing some self-studying by myself at home. And then I thought, I was thinking to myself, if I'm going to learn this in a proper way, I have to find a topic, a theme that really interests me.
Yeah.
And what else could it be than, of course, my big childhood heroes, KISS, which are so visual in every way possible. So I thought, if I can make some kind of project related to KISS, I will always be motivated to learn something more about the 3D animation software. And that's how it really started. So I started to make all these classic stages from Destroyer stage, 1976. Then you have the Alive 2 stage, or the Love Gun stage from 1977. Then I continued on with Dynasty from 1979, and then I finished off everything with Creatures of the Night from 1982. And this was basically nothing but an animated series of static objects, but I had animated the visual, the lights and so forth, and the different components of the stage moving. So they got quite popular with the fan base.
They did, yeah. I remember watching those when you released them online. It was always good to see every new one that was put up there.
Well, that's good to hear. I never spoke to anyone really that much about it, but I read a lot of comments online, and I think when I put it all together, calculating it, it was well above 100,000 views.
Wow.
And I also had a feature on Kiss Online, and quite a few nice emails. So I, you know, I thought it was a good thing. And then after that was done, and I sort of got involved with Seb Hunter's project, but I sort of continued by myself and wanted to do my own thing with The Other Live. And that's how it continued from that 3D animation stage series.
When did you become a Kiss fan?
Oh, I was out playing with some boys. I was about 5 or 6 years old, and playing football at the local field. And then somebody came over and showed me this small collector's card of Kiss.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was Gene Simmons with one foot resting on the amplifier, you know, wearing his dragon boots. And to me, I was convinced that he was actually wearing a real dragon on his foot. So that tells you something about the powerful visuals and how it can really affect a child. And that's also the part of the story that we want to tell with The Elder Live, you know, how powerful such visuals can be for a child, if it's Kiss or if it's Superman or whatever it is that you're interested in, how powerful this visual world can be to a child, you know, that you don't have all this, the language and this thing that an adult person would have to evaluate the same.
That's true. Yeah, because I can remember when I was a kid and I first saw my first photographs of Kiss, and they were like living, breathing superheroes to me.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and still are. Mostly, they still are.
Well, you know, you of course you don't believe that they are superheroes, but what you believe in and what I believe in is that they have a quality that very few other artists have, and that's part of the reasons why we do this project. I think they missed a great opportunity with The Elder, because they had planned for a world tour and they had planned for a feature movie.
Mm-hmm.
But due to the poor album sales, it got scrapped.
Yeah, it's a pity that. And I do love The Elder album as well. It is.
Yeah, so what is it that you love about it?
Oh, I love that it's so... It's just so very different. I know they've diversified a little bit with a lot of their albums, but there's just something about the sound of the album. I love the story that it tells. And it's my most played Kiss album. You know, when I look at my MP3 stats, The Elder every year is my most played Kiss album.
Yeah, and what it's interesting, you say the story. What is the story to you? Because from my point of view, it seems to differ from person to person. So what is the story to you?
To me, well, I mean, if you take it literally, we think it would be, you know, the story of a young boy and his journey from childhood through to adulthood and coming across the obstacles in between and good versus evil. Is that how you see it? I mean, I'd be fascinated to hear how.
It's all about those things that you mentioned there. So basically, you can make it into anything that you want to. But I look at it this way. We cannot be Hollywood. The best we can hope for is to create an animated movie that sort of fulfills the vision that we have for the project.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, we are not bound by the boundaries that Seb Hunter was, because he obviously, if he wanted to film a big choir for the song Under the Rose, which features a big man's choir, he would obviously need to hire a big choir, which would be extremely expensive. We don't have to do that. We can just model one choir member, which we will alter slightly, and then we will multiply him by, let's say, 50.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can position him in exactly any kind of environment that we want and make it exactly as huge and larger than life as it should be in a Kiss-related production.
Yeah.
So when I'm saying we have to be very clear about where we're going, I mean, we cannot We don't have a budget. The best we can hope for is a budget that will pay the expenses for a few animators and myself to finish the job. So we will make the stage presentation based on the original sketches from 1981. That is sort of the focus of the project.
Yeah.
Project to kind of how do you put it? You want to make it into the vision that they had, but also related to how the fans see it. Because you see, we want to get the fans involved as well, and we plan to do this by offering pledges in our crowdfunding campaign.
Yeah.
So we have everything from the very simple pledges, which is you can download the movie for $20, up to the most expensive pledge, which includes your photorealistic likeness as the boy character.
Oh wow, that's fantastic! So that's a great one.
Just to illustrate what I'm talking about here, David, I would like to show you the latest render of Paul Stanley.
Sure.
Where he is descending down from the top of the cathedral. And the reason why I want to do this now is that I want to show you we are talking about photoreal likeness. So I just want to get your take on it. Let me just share the screen here real quick.
Yeah, no problem. Wow, that looks good. That's, oh, what a tease seeing this now.
Yeah, I hope, you know, because this is sort of my goal with the whole project, and this is why it takes time, you know. Obviously, when you sit by, well, now I want to imagine to myself that you have started recording again.
Yes.
Obviously, when you sit by yourself, things take time, you know. If you want to achieve a certain level of quality, which I want to, because there's absolutely no way that I could stand by this and market it seriously if I did not believe in it. So in order for me to believe in it, I have to put in the time and the effort, and that is 18 months now. 18 months it has taken it just to finish this promo.
Yeah.
And I was just speaking about photoreal likeness, and when you look at this picture now, who do you see?
Oh, it's Paul Stanley.
Is it just the makeup, or is it anything else?
It's the detail of the costume, his stance, the way he's standing, the guitar. It's everything. It's unmistakably Paul Stanley, even down to the chest hair.
Of course, yeah, we had to include that as well. There was no way around it. But you see, this is the whole point. If I'm going to be able to sell this project to the Kiss fans, because I don't think that a lot of people outside the Kiss community will be that interested, it has to have that quality, and that's what I'm hoping that we can achieve. And so far, from the preliminary feedback that I've had from other people, it sounds like we are on the right path, so to speak.
So you mentioned about, you know, how time consuming this is and has been so far. Have you got a projected time scale of when you would like the finished product done by?
The demo will be finished in January. So that means that we will launch in January, or at the latest early February.
Yeah.
At the very latest. And then, very important, depending on the results of the crowdfunding campaign, we will finish according to that. It is impossible to say. If I'm able to raise $100,000, the schedule will be quite different than if we will be able to raise only $20,000 or even $10,000.
Yeah.
Of course, because what we will have to do now, I know exactly how to do things. I know how to make these characters come alive. But it takes so much time that if I'm going to make all of the full band come alive by myself, it will be easily another 6-7 months only with character animation, and then I have to finish the stage, because obviously the demo is not the stage, it's just a demo. So, you know, it's impossible to say right now. It will all depend on the result of the crowdfunding campaign.
And I'm still looking at the photograph now, and it's not just the detail in Paul Stanley either, is it? It's the environment that you've got him in as well. I'm just spotting little details now as I'm staring at this, and there's a couple of little things in the background.
What do you see there?
Stained glass windows. I can see
exactly.
It. Yeah,
exactly. And then just to explain a little bit about the work that we have to put into this is that actually you have to make the glass. You have to make it exactly with the kind of texture that you would like. You know, how much do you want this texture to come out from the glass? Do you want it to be an even surface, or do you want it to be slightly with a slight texture to it?
Yeah.
And then you have to, of course, make this paintings of Paul, Ace, Jean, and Eric. And how do you make them paintings? You don't have these paintings. Nobody has painted the elder characters before. So then you have to take these photos, and then you have to alter them in Photoshop, and then you have to transfer them to Adobe Illustrator and trace the initial design, and then transfer it into the 3D software and make it into a 3D object and add all kinds of things that you need to add there. So, yeah, it takes time. But, you know, all these details, again, we are very lucky to have three members of the KISS original crew with us. We have Pixie Esmond, who was the wardrobe manager on the Dynasty and the Unmasked tours.
Mm-hmm.
And we have Vincent DiGerlando, and we have Dennis Wallach, who worked closely together with KISS's manager, Bill O'Coin, to produce all the marketing material and the photo shoots and the album covers. And when I'm saying that, it's not just a fancy words or trying to market the project, it's because actually that very specific quality that KISS has, the visual quality, if we are going to be able to reach back and touch something there, we have to be able to communicate with these people and speak about the project and have them look at the development of the different designs and have it going back and forth between us and make it develop that way. So that's what we are trying to do.
Yeah, I mean, everything's looking like so authentic. The detail that you're going into is what astounds me and excites me, you know, as a KISS fan, especially as a big fan of the Elder. It's just something that's... I keep being distracted by looking at this photograph because it's so...
if it did something for you, if it did something positive for you, then it means that we have reached our goal, you know, because we obviously, if you're into Schubert or Brahms or Beethoven, obviously looking at this picture won't do much for you. But if you're a KISS fan, if it can make you feel something, if it can make you feel excited or curious or interested, then it means that we have done something right.
Yeah, I'm picturing it in my head now and visualizing it in motion and with the music behind it. And yeah, it's definitely...
I was just looking at this very scene 30 minutes ago with Paul Stanley on top of this pod playing the opening chords to the Oath while this whole pod is descending.
That's really good. You mentioned the sketches as well. You mentioned you got the original sketches and what they were going to use from the tour and everything. How was that then influenced? Because I'm, again, just going back to this photograph, and I know, listeners, that you can't see it, but I'm trying to describe it as best I can to give you a flavour of it and how it is. It looks absolutely amazing. You're in this cathedral. So how did, were the sketches of the cathedral, is that something that you've brought into the project? Is the setting there for how it begins?
Oh, that's very interesting, because what happened, you see, David, was that last year when I initially got Dennis and Vincent on board, I was just making the Paul character. I thought, Well, but this is great. It looks fantastic. If I can just show this character to KISS fans, they will love it, and we can start making the real movie. And then, as we approached the actual first crowdfunding campaign, the day before I was about to launch, Dennis and Vincent told me that I should probably also make some of the scenography. Not only offer people the character, but also show them the scenography. How do I think? How will it look? What is the theme? What will the colorization be like? What is the texture? All of this kind of thing. And then everything started. Then I sort of had to go back and start everything at scratch. So then I thought about, okay, he will certainly be in a kind of a medieval themed scenography, but how much of it am I going to make? So first I started with the glass painting design that you have seen part of today, and then of course the bricks in the background. And then what happened, for some reason or another, I kept moving backwards from the I kept on zooming out, and it meant I just had to make more of the cathedral. And in the end, I had modeled a full copy of the Cologne Cathedral in Germany. It's actually a version of that, but it's a KISS-themed version of it.
Excellent.
And actually, that includes the exterior as well. So you have all the details that you will see on the Cologne Cathedral, you have in this cathedral, but with added KISS theme to it. So there are KISS-themed gargoyles, there are KISS-themed logos, so forth and so on. There is a huge, 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 very exclusive kind of a royal gate, which I probably think must be at least 5 or 6 meters tall, that the boy will initially be standing outside waiting. In the opening shot, you can see the top of the towers, then you have the camera panning down, and then you will see tilting down, and then you will see the boy in front of the gate, waiting for the gate to open so he can sort of get into this kids universe.
Wow. And it's you must have, I mean, the artistic decisions that you've got to make for like mood and style, lighting,
Yeah,
that
very
must,
interesting.
yeah, it
In
must take,
interesting question right there,
yeah, it must take
because
so
I
long
it,
for you though to do all of this and try all the different lightings and then just to finally stick to the one that you want to achieve.
absolutely. I spent too much time with this. Nobody in their right mind could spend as much time on this project. It's just, I'm in a lucky position because I'm living in Thailand right now. I moved here after working for Air France in 2010. Then I quit my job in Air France and I wanted to try something else. And I moved to Thailand where I'm staying with my wife. And the expenses for living here are not too high, so it means if I have something that I really wanted to do at some point in my life, it should be now, right now. So I'm living this kind of life where I have the opportunity to focus on this every day. But you see, the only way that I can do it, as you say, it takes a lot of time, is by spending that time that nobody else are willing to do, or they don't have the time. They have something to do. They have to take care of their wife is complaining. Then they have to go out to shopping. You have to be involved in the local community. All of these things, because I'm sort of away from my own environment, I can allow myself to immerse myself in these things. And there's no way around it. If I'm going to do this properly, I have to do it this way.
I mean, I can't see any reason why any KISS fan would not want to see this. Because I'm just so happy that we're in, well, almost in 2016, and KISS is still a viable band, and they're touring, and hopefully new material from them. But it just seems, unfortunately, what was the KISS army was just one big army. It seems to have fractured into so many different splinter cells of the original four and anybody else that was in it, and this album and that album. And it's, I'm just all for, if it's new KISS material, I want it. I want it. I still get so excited, and I'm sure listeners to this will pick up on that through my gushing already, that, you know, the fact that you're doing this and this animated, superbly animated, look, again, I just keep staring at this photograph.
Can I just cut you off there, because you touched on something really important, and I think,
sure, yeah,
you know, I have the exact same point of view that you have. I'm all excited. I think that there should be one big world of happy KISS army fans together about anything that comes out.
Yes.
But I will tell you something. You would not believe the trouble I have had getting people talking about this project, and I don't know what the reason is. So I'm just, what do you say, flabbergasted.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Why wouldn't people be interested in this? It's not a matter of I want to make it all by myself. You have to stay on the outside and look in, and I will take all the honors or whatever. It's not about that. It's about making something together that we are excited about, and doing it in the right way, and making everyone happy. But for some reason, that message does not come across.
No, I think it's the double-edged sword of the internet, isn't it? Where everybody, it's good that everybody's got a voice, and we can use it for things like this, you know, I want to help get the word out about this project. But the other side of it is people seem to think, well, they can put all their opinions, which they sadly mistake for fact, up online. And it's, but bringing it back just to within the KISS fan base itself, you know, if you're listening to this, I'm presuming you're a KISS fan. Why wouldn't you want to see this? Why wouldn't you want to? Even if, I know The Elder isn't the most popular album out there, but, you know, I'm not a huge fan of, like, Carnival of Souls, but if something was made to do with that, I would be so excited to see it, because it's more KISS stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. But let me tell you one reason why people should not be interested. If this is being made with a quality, under par quality, which is not up to where it should be, in order for people to look at it in 2015. I agree. There's no reason why people should waste 40 minutes to watch this or to get involved with this project or to be excited about it. But I really believe that within the KISS army, it should be given some time and be considered, and people should be willing to listen and to consider it at the very least.
At the time when The Elder was released, like you said earlier, wasn't it? There was so much planned for it, you know, with the movie and everything, and nothing happened. So fast forward to now, and the fact that we're going to get this, thanks to yourself and your team, is just great, I think. I think it's really great.
Well, we have our fingers crossed.
So what's the plan now? What sort of stage are you at now with it, and can you tell everybody of what's planned, you know, for the coming months?
Yes. Right now, I'm finishing up the last few scenes for the demo, which is the one scene that we spoke about. That's one of the most important scenes, with Paul Stanley descending from the ceiling of this enormous cathedral, which I believe is, if I'm not mistaken, over 120 feet high. I will double check that for you, because that's sort of interesting when it comes to the size. But anyway, back to your question. I'm finishing up these last few scenes. Then I have to do the composites. I have to make all these different parts come together in the editing software. And then I have to add some special featured logos that we will make for this movie. I don't know if you can remember to have seen this original O'Coin animated logo from the 70s. Kind of a big red flashy KISS logo. Looks really impressive for the time.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah. We will make our version of that logo. So I have to make that logo as well. And then it's just a matter of adding the sound and preparing the last bits of marketing material and have it sent out. So that would be about, at the latest, early February at the very latest.
Okay.
Sorry,
and then as far as it going online and people can start pledging towards the project, then we're talking February time then, hopefully, when that's going to happen?
Yes.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, I'm going to have to... I will be pledging, let's put it that way. I will be pledging towards it to begin with.
Well, I'm glad to hear that it can create some kind of excitement, because obviously that's what got me into this as well. You know, talking about excitement and why we are KISS fans and all this kind of thing, I think that there's one aspect that whenever I read the KISS forums and I hear KISS themselves speaking about but I think people kind of, they underestimate the band a little bit, because if you look at what they have brought to the popular culture, if you like, it has more to do with the Brothers Grimm and the folklore and the great fairy tales, really, and that kind of mood and attitude, than it has to do with pop songs from the 70s or the 80s, because it has left sort of a heritage that is more profound than just songs, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely, and more so as the years have gone by as well, I think.
Exactly. So then that's back to our project again. That's exactly what we're trying to go back to and reconnect with that great, extremely, probably one of the world's greatest creative entertainment environments at the time, and continue where they left off in 1981, and to make something truly great as best as we can do it with the resources that we have available to us.
What on earth are you going to do with your time once this has been completed? Because, you know, this is obviously taking so much time. Have you even thought that far ahead yet?
No. No, I have not thought about it. No, not at all. Whatever it has to do with, you know, media production, creative production, photography, 3D animation, I could do many things. But as you know, working in media yourself, it's not easy these days. Even with a lot of experience, even with talent, it takes a lot to get to a good job. You know? That's just the reality of things in 2015.
Yeah, definitely so. Is there anything else you'd like to tell the listeners about the project?
What I would like to tell the people about the project. I would like to tell the people, the KISS people, that is, the KISS environment, the KISS army, that take a look at what we have to offer. You know, is it good enough? Is this something that you could be interested in? Give it a chance. You know, have a look. Look at the samples that are out on the internet, on our Facebook page, on our website. Go listen to The Elder again. Try to picture some kind of scenes for yourself, and why not write us a few lines about what you would like to see in the movie as well. You know, the whole idea about this project is for everyone to get involved. It's not about exclusion, it's about inclusion.
Mm-hmm. What did you think when you first heard The Elder? What did you think of it?
Well, I don't know if I have a selective memory or not, but the way I remember it is that I was very proud that my band, my favorite pop band, was able to bring something like that to the table, whereas the other kids was just listening to what did they listen to back then? Ooh. I don't even remember.
No, I can't remember either. It was all about KISS for me.
Adam and the Ants, something like that. I can remember at the tip of my tongue, something like this. What else was there? Sex Pistols, but that was a kind of a different thing. No, but I was very proud when I heard it. I think that was great. They can really do something like that, and some kind of more sensible kind of compositions, like Just a Boy, more mellow. There is more emotion to it, more deep emotion, I would say, than just the kind of a surface rock and roll that you get from the other music that they made, which is great rock and roll, by the way. But from my point of view, the way I look at it now is that by 1978, 79, they had already proven themselves as great rock and roll musicians and writers of rock material. What was there anything more to prove? I don't think so. So from my point of view, that they went out and did this album was absolutely fantastic. And I can absolutely not understand for one second whatsoever that people still want a new rock album and then another new rock album and then yet another one. Wouldn't it be great if Kiss went out and did something completely different, but kept the core of the band, of course, just like they did with The Elder?
Yeah, I wish the band would as well, especially Gene and Paul, would give The Elder a little bit more respect than they seem to lately. They do seem to look down on it from a great height, unfortunately.
Do you know why? Do you know why I think they do that?
Why? Why do you think they do that?
I think it has to do with money.
Yeah.
How? Because if there's someone who is very adamant about the argument of commercialism, it is Gene Simmons. And from his point standpoint, there could be no Kiss unless there was a market. Mm-hmm. And he could care less about the artistic value of the Elder. But that's where their European audiences and people like you and me see it quite differently.
Yeah.
As simple as that.
Yes, I remember that my first listening of The Elder was under very strange circumstances because a friend of mine had bought it before me. I normally got to the... Again, you'll remember this. This was back in the days where you had to physically walk down to a record store and buy it. You couldn't just download it. And I couldn't get to the record store to buy it on release date, but my friend had. So I remember we phoned him up, a friend and myself, we phoned him up. He put the LP onto his record player. He turned it up loud and he held the phone up and we listened to The Elder for the first time over the phone. That was the first time.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. How technology has changed.
So how did you feel about it when you heard it?
Well, I love it. I mean, obviously, you know, it starts with The Oath and you think, okay, you've got the guitar that we're used to and the songs, and then it all changes and you've got the likes of Just a Boy coming in.
But you know that they swapped those songs around.
I do. Yeah. I've got the Japanese LP as well.
Because they wanted a record that hit more hard and was more recognizable to the rock audience. That's why they put Oath at the beginning of it.
Yeah.
The Oath was not meant to come in until later, which it will be. Of course, we will follow the original track listing. Of course.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask about Escape from the Island then? Because with that just being just the music, there's no vocals or anything. How are you going to go with the imagery from that? Is it going to be the band playing, or is the camera going to play around a little bit more? Is there any way you could tell me a little bit about that? Because I'm quite interested in how that one track will be perceived on screen.
I will try to answer that question about Escape from the Island specifically, but also include the sonography and how we think visual mm-hmm. to make everything come together. About Escape from the Island, we will try to include some external scenes as well. So what it means is that everything will happen on Kiss stage, specially designed with the Elder theme. But we will also include some small scenes that will be cross-edited with the action on stage.
Yeah.
So maybe, let's say in Odyssey, you have a line where Paul sings, "From a far off galaxy, I hear you calling me." Mm-hmm. So a line like that could easily be, we could edit that with a scene of a boy, which, let's say that he is out in space, somewhere in a short segment, and then we return back to the action on stage. It's not so easy to explain it, but if you ever watched Pink Floyd's The Wall,
yeah,
they have this kind of editing going on where they mix between the action on stage and then some separate scenes and then some animated segments as well. So it will be a mix between on-stage action and some more abstract elements, mm-hmm. where we will use animated KISS logos and play more with visuals from specific lines in the text. I cannot, right now, I'm not very well able to remember any lines from any song for whatever reason, but if you understand, I'm trying to explain to you how I look at it.
Yeah. What's been the hardest part for you so far as far as the modeling goes, which has been the most demanding on you and challenge the skills with the software?
The time. So the fact that if you're going to model a full scale cathedral and make it look good and make it a KISS version of it, you have to put in the time. That's the difficult part of it.
Yeah.
The difficult part is that when you start to model a window at 9 o'clock in the morning, and then when you look at it, watch again, it's 9 o'clock in the evening and you haven't finished even the window yet. And you have a whole cathedral to make. That's the difficult part of it.
On your Facebook page as well, you recently put a photograph of Paul Stanley's face and you'd got the mesh over the top where you were mapping his features and that. What sort of decisions did you take with the use of photographs, which ones to get? And again, still looking at this photograph, I love the pose that he's in. Did you study film from them, and how difficult was it? So, because you could get him looking like Paul Stanley, but if the movements are not there, but you've just nailed it with this pose too. Could you explain again to the listeners the work that's involved in putting all these little jigsaw pieces together to make this whole?
Yeah, I think first and foremost you have to be a KISS fan. Right? What do you call it? A KISS nerd? Probably,
yeah.
which obviously, beyond any shadow of doubt, I am a big KISS nerd. But I am many other things as well, luckily. But I am that, and you have to be really interested, and you have to be interested in the minutiae. You have to be. You have to have also probably you need that story, and you need that emotional connection to it as well. There is no way that you can go in and make this if you just want to make this for money. If you're going to make this for money, you wouldn't be able to do it.
Yeah.
Because I'm putting basically my life to one side and moving forward when I'm doing this, because I have this special connection to it. And in order to do it correctly, as you say, and more technically, first you have to look at as many photographs as you can find from that era as possible. So I have a folder on my computer that includes probably a couple of hundred, something like that, different photos from various photo shoots around this time.
Yeah.
Then you have to find the best photo that you can find of Paul Stanley in this case that we're discussing, where he's standing up straight and not doing any crazy poses or whatever. And then you put him in the background, and then you start making the outline of the mesh in the foreground. And this means, by doing this, it means that you get the right proportions in order. So then when you have done that, when you get the right proportions in order, you have to start to stretch it out and the X, Y, Z axis, so it becomes a 3D object. And then after that, you have to add the different kind of textures, the different kind of colors. And with the software that we're using, you can actually sample the exact color from a photo. So what we have done in many cases is that if you want the correct color for, let's say, Paul's bandana, you can just measure the exact color value from a photo, and then you will get the exact match.
That's what I was going to bring up, because again, looking at it now, it is quite obviously it's the exact color of it.
Yeah, so that's what we're trying to do. And then, of course, the real difficult part starts when you want this person to move around, and you have a guitar thrown into the mix, and you have the guitar. What do you call it? That holds the whole thing up.
The guitar strap.
Exactly, the guitar strap. And when all of these different components start to move around in relation to each other, then you easily find yourself in the worst nightmare. You can imagine, because then all of a sudden you have the guitar going through his hips, and then when you move the guitar, his hips will deform into some kind of strange blob form, because it should not have been within this range. It can only be 20 centimeters and not closer. And then if the head moves, all of a sudden his neck will snap in a way that it shouldn't be. So it's basically about mathematical values all the way that you have to add to into the mix. You have this bone, this thigh bone can only move 2 degrees to the left, whereas 5 degrees to the right, and so forth and so on. And then you have to make everything move and then study poses and video everything like this in the end to make it look natural. And that's why we need funding, because there is no way that I myself will be able to make this no faster than 10 years if I'm going to do it by myself.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So if but on the other hand, we don't need a Hollywood production staff. We don't need 200 people like many of the big productions have nowadays.
Yeah.
We don't need that. But let's say if we have 10 people that can work for us for a limited period of time, we can get the movie done within a year or two. Absolutely. The whole movie.
And going back to you being such a huge Kiss fan as well.
Yeah.
Of course, you'll have the eye, you'll know quite obviously when the pose is right, when the look is right, and you'll know instantly when something's not quite right that doesn't sell it as well, which is an absolute positive, but I guess kind of frustrating in a way, because you know you know and love the band so much, you'll know so much minutiae about it, if the slightest thing is off, it'll be quite visible to you.
Absolutely. I'm one of those guys that, you know, when they came back on their reunion tour in 1996, they had the lions on which were mounted to the drum riser. They have this lion heads that were sort of made in this aluminium metal finish.
Yeah.
And they were absolutely not the same as the original thing. And not so much because they weren't like the original thing, but they looked amateurish in comparison. So yes, I notice. For real, absolutely, absolutely.
What's been your favourite part so far of this project? I mean, obviously, you know, I'm sure listeners now are well aware of the amount of work, the amount of hours that's been put into it, and the amount of love that's been put into it. But what's been your favourite part of it all so far?
The hours, by the way, it's about 2,000 by now, as far as I know.
Oh, my word.
So, I tried to do an estimate. I think that's probably pretty accurate. But my favorite part, I think it was always the thing that got me excited about the band, was the creativity. Mm-hmm. It's possible to do something that's different, that it's possible to do something that looks different, that feels different, that has this larger than life feel to it, and that you can be involved in it and be part of it. Because it's certainly not about money. As far as I'm concerned, we will not be able to make a lot of money at all. And when I say that, I would like to touch upon the legal aspect, if I may.
Of course, yeah, please.
Because obviously, as we speak right now, we don't have any permits to make it. And if you think that you can go move along and just start making a movie like this and charge money for it, then you are pretty naive. Mm-hmm. So right now, is not a commercial project. It will only be a project for those who are interested in getting involved with the process of making the movie. And if you are interested in getting involved making the movie, you will have an opportunity to be part of the movie and to see the movie. But to sell the movie, as it stands right now, it's not going to happen.
It is, like you say, it's an absolute minefield, isn't it?
Yes, it's terrible, and I've been discussing the project with our marketing advisor, Snowden, Mr. Snowden, and David Snowden, and He has suggested that we will have to pay a fee in the area of $50,000 just to get started with a license.
Wow, that's a lot.
And yeah, so as it stands right now, that's not even an issue. What we're working towards now, right now, is the kind of excitement that you express, and hopefully others express, and maybe, just in the end, maybe even kids too will be excited about it, just enough that they will get in some way or another.
I hope they do. You know, it's because, again, I've been gushing about it while I've been chatting to you, and I have been before, because I've been so excited about this project, and so excited that I could have the time on the show with you and help to promote it, because it is something that I feel that all KISS fans should embrace and back and get behind. And it's something that we thought we would see back in the day when The Elder came out, and unfortunately we weren't, and now because of your good self and your team with you, that we're finally getting the chance to see it. It's all going to be visualized, and it's, you know, I really can't understand the KISS fans that would not want to see it. I just belies belief for me. It really does.
Now it's, yeah, well, I could certainly couldn't say it any better myself, but I think it's about the other things that you mentioned before too, that the people who, they are so passionate, the fan base, they are so passionate, and each in their own way. So if they love something, they love it so strongly, and if they hate it, they hate it even more than anyone have before in the history of KISS or any other band. So and so it's because of all these strong emotions and that we have to the band that it probably get into trouble sometimes. But I think, again, that's why I say back to the quality aspect of it. Look at the quality. Are we able to measure up to the quality of productions like Scooby-Doo and things like this? Mm-hmm. If we are, by the way, a project that KISS chose to get involved with commercially, if you can measure up against that and touch upon that, something that actually has more to do with the original mythology of KISS than it has to do with the damn dog, then it's probably a good reason why you should consider it.
Most definitely. I can't wait to put the links to everything up online. And of course, to see the final product is something that I'm really looking forward to. I really am. And please keep me updated with each stage of it, because it's, you know, I'm absolutely fascinated and excited and just want to see as much as I can already.
Well, I would just like to thank you so much that you got in touch and that you allowed us to come onto your show, and that we got to tell you and your audience about the project. It's certainly something that we believe in. We cannot do it by ourselves, but with some help and some basic funding, we can get the project done and hopefully create excitement just like you showed us here on your show. So that's what we're hoping for.
Well, I hope so. I wish you every success with it. Like I say, I will promote it everywhere that I can and sing the praises of it, and I'm sure all the KISS fans that listen to this will do the same, because you should do. I'm sure you should get behind this as a KISS fan. You really should. And Øyvind, thank you so much for joining me today to have a chat about this. I wish you every success with it.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it immensely.
Oh, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And there we are, the end of another episode. And I'm sure that whetted your appetite for the Elder Live project. I know it most certainly did for me, as you could probably tell from my excitement all the way through that. To keep up to date with everything that's going to happen with it, please do go to our website and the podcast notes for this show. We'll have all of the links that you need. All you need to do is go to 60minuteswith.co.uk. Everything will be on there. There's also a contact us form on there should you wish to send us an email, or you can email us direct, which is contact@60minuteswith.co.uk. We're on Facebook, which is facebook.com/60minuteswith. On Twitter is @60minuteswith, and on Instagram is @60minuteswith. And as always, all of those are with the numerical 60 and not the alphabetical one. And if you listen to us on iTunes and or Stitcher Radio, if you'd like to spend a couple of minutes to leave us a rating and or review, that would be very nice indeed, especially with Christmas coming up. You could think of it as a little Christmas present to us. 2 minutes of your time will make us very happy this Christmas. So, whoever you are, wherever you are, thank you so much for listening, and we will be back again very soon with another show.